This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You think you read me? Hope I start talking crazy before you understand me. Are we through? You think that I'm beneath you, but you like the things that I do. Wrap them up and take them with you.
Welcome back to Sunday Groove. This is actually episode 16. I think I falsely called last episode episode 16. It was not. But this, if you're a first-time listener, I'm going to start doing this because this any episode could be somebody's first. This is a monthly music podcast. It's always going to be me, David Sunday, as your host. But I have different guests each month. There's obviously some repeat guests, but anyway, so I guess that's all you really need to know getting into it. We'll talk about different styles of music. Anyway, I've had a lot of people, people over there some time reach out and support the show and mention and comment on the show. And one of those people is going to be on the show today. He actually reached out probably like 6 months ago or so, thanks to a mutual friend, Tim Capel, had recommended the show to him. So this guest started reaching out to me, I think I did look the other day. It was like 6 months ago, and has been commenting on a lot of the shows and everything. So I've been eager to have him on. We've talked music ever since then, pretty much. So anyway, today I have on with me Jason Sherman. How are you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing all right, and I'm very happy to be on the 16th episode for 16 Stone.
Nice. I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
I just thought of it now.
Yeah. I really appreciate you commenting on the show so many times and sending me stuff about music all periodically, because it's nice to have interaction with people. I know other people listen to the show, but a lot of people are just quiet and they don't say anything, and I love comments. Like, I like hearing feedback of some kind.
Feedback is always nice, and I'm hoping I've introduced you to some stuff you haven't heard before.
You definitely have, yeah. This past week there were several things you sent me. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but that's cool.
Say I was slightly obsessed with mid-90s alternative rock would be an understatement.
Understandable. There's some I need to go back and revisit even, but they're, yeah, I that's still one of my sweet spots.
I miss it so much.
Yeah. Oh, you and me both. But yeah, the first episode you commented on was actually the Our Lady Peace episode.
Indeed.
Yeah. I don't really know how it happened. I just remember Tim mentioned that he'd mentioned, or he talked to you and about my show and mentioned that episode, and I was like, good. Always happy for some new listeners. And I know, like, Our Lady of Peace had a lot of hits, but, like, it feels like a lot of people have forgotten about them.
Which is sad.
Yeah. So I was really happy to have someone else to talk about that band with, because, like I said, I know, like, during the Gravity era, everybody knew them, and then kind of, like, they went away. I mean, they're still alive and they're still making music, but they're just not well known anymore.
Yeah, I did like the follow up to Gravity, though. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh yeah, Healthy and Fair.
Yeah, didn't speak too well of it, but I loved it.
Well, I'll be honest, I didn't revisit it as closely as I needed to prior to that episode. I focused so much on some of the other albums that I didn't have as many thoughts on it. And I knew I was honestly that episode was talking more about the ones Tim. I had more comments on, so that's kind of how that went. But yeah, that album grew on me a lot. I didn't like it when it first came out, but Healthy and Paranoid Times, really, it's one of those that the more you revisit, the more you're likely to like it.
Yeah, Where Are You is one of my top Our Lady Peace tracks. I love that song so much.
Nice. Yeah,
Can I do a quick Our Lady Peace story?
Yeah, cool, of course.
So I saw them in support of Healthy and Paranoid Times when that album came out, and they were playing with the All-American Rejects.
Interesting pairing.
And I remember, yeah, and I remember this, like, teenage girl behind me was just like, I wonder who's opening. All-American Rejects is so much bigger than Our Lady Peace, and my eyes rolled as far as they could. All-American Rejects was opening for Our Lady Peace, by the way.
Okay.
And half the crowd left after All-American Rejects.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, I hate our youth sometimes. Yeah. Not when we're young, but just like young people that don't seem to understand anything else. Or don't even want to like experience anything else. But anyway, I don't want to get off the
negative. I got up close after that, so I'm happy with it. It's okay with me.
Very true. That is a good point, or side effect of that, I guess. I was trying to pull it up. It's not on my music app. Interesting. Because there's one track in particular I was going to throw love to. Off Healthy and Paranoid. It was very unique and different.
Yeah, that album I remember being really weird. I couldn't like add it to iTunes back then when I had the CD.
Right, yeah, it was one of those.
It was weird.
It was one of those when they were being stupid, records were. And like, it told me it ripped to my CD or to my computer, but it didn't really.
Mm-hmm. I remember that being a problem back then.
I like Love and Trust. Wipe That Smile Off Your Face is probably one of my favorites.
Oh, that's a great song.
I love the snark in that. Like, I just... and then also, like, I think Apology was really good. And so there's a lot of great stuff on there. But yeah, it's one I have to admit we definitely undersold on that episode.
Yeah. I mean, everything since then even is even more obscure for me. I don't even know if I can name a track after Healthy.
Oh, you need to at least visit Burn Burn. Burn Burn is still a very strong album. I can't speak too highly for Curve. It was trying so hard to kind of get their more creative stuff back at the cost of good melody at times.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it at the time, but it I definitely understand
it. Didn't hold up well.
I haven't revisited it a whole lot, but the last time I did revisit a few years back, it did not hold up as well. But Burn Burn does.
Okay, I've heard that song, Burn Burn.
Good, yeah, that's a good one. I dig that album. But let's get into more on the normal segment.
The topic of the day.
Yeah. actually, do you have any current spins?
Well, not really. Not new music.
Right, but do you have
some stuff recently? Actually, in the Place to Be live chat the other day, we got into a big Silverchair conversation.
Oh,
so
nice.
I've been listening to a lot of Silverchair recently, of all random bands.
Okay.
also, I just like, I constantly listen to Muse all the time. Like,
okay.
If there's one band besides Bush I listen to all the time, it's Muse. they're just really, really good. His voice is one of the best.
It's
and
good.
For some reason, I found myself constantly listening to the Nelly Furtado song, Promiscuous.
I like the song. It's just such an interesting...
yeah.
To go from Silverchair, Muse, and Nelly Furtado.
It's just the one song. I don't even know why. I really like that song quite a bit.
It's Timbaland.
And I've been listening to it nonstop the past week.
The Timbaland part does make it a little catchier than some of the others.
His beats are ridiculous.
They are. Like, helped a lot of bands or singers in, a while back. The only one he could not do good work for that I remember anyway was Chris Cornell. The album he did with Chris Cornell was very weird.
I remember liking a couple songs though.
Yeah, there were a couple decent, but it just didn't work to overall.
Yeah, and his voice you would think would, because Chris Cornell is one of the most powerful voices in music history, in my opinion.
Oh yeah,
you would think his voice would work with just about anything.
Oh yeah.
Maybe it was just we're just so used to Soundgarden.
I think it was partly that, but I also think Chris might not have had as much interest in that style. Didn't feel like maybe his heart was quite there as much.
Did Chris Cornell have multiple solo albums?
Yes, he had four total.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because the only one I'm thinking of, like, I know he did the one with Timbaland. But he did have the other one, this other one with the song "Can't Change Me."
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't Timbaland, though, I don't think. That was like straight rock.
Yeah, he had four total. The first was Euphoria Morning. That was like right after Soundgarden, like late 90s.
Yeah, I think that was the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's what Can't Change Me came from. Then he had one at the time of Casino Royale. The Bond movie came out in 2005.
Hmm.
Had one at that point. Then he had that one with Timbaland, and then he did one that was much more acoustic-y called Higher Truth, like 2 years before his death, I think. I think it was
interesting. I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. It's interesting. I like that album, though.
Was that before Soundgarden getting back together?
No, that would have been right after, I guess, they were taking a small break.
I saw Soundgarden with Nine Inch Nails, and I'm trying to think if that album was before that.
Probably not. I think, off the top of my head, I can't remember for sure, but yeah, their reunion was a few years before it, I'm pretty sure.
All right.
So
the time blends so much.
It does. All right, well, I don't really, most of my current spins recently, I mean, they're always kind of fluid, and a lot of times it's not really even current music. But since I've been focusing so much on some topics, I'm going to go ahead and blow past current spins then this month for myself. just because I don't have any deep thoughts to say about anything that's not on the episode today or the next episode. So, anyway, let's cue to Music Memories.
Music Memories, what are your music memories?
All right. So, Jason, getting to know you a little bit, what was your first music memory?
It's kind of sad.
Oh, okay.
the first thing I ever really remember about music is, honest to God, my mom listening to the Kylie Minogue cover of Locomotion.
Interesting. Okay.
And my older siblings listening to, like, Lita Ford and whatever was popular in the mid-80s. For some reason, the... what's the name of that song? Thing, and does this ring any bell at all?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Lita Ford song from the late 80s. I remember one of my older sisters being obsessed with it, and I remember dancing to like Vanilla Ice. I really didn't get really into music until like I was in middle school.
Okay.
I finally developed my own ear,
right?
And that's when I turned to alternative rock.
Understand.
But before that, it was like whatever my older siblings were listening to. And, like, popular crisscross kind of stuff.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. I loved that stuff at the time. Yeah, there's no shame in her first memories. I know Jenny actually talked about Steve Winwood and...
Mm-hmm.
Who else was it? Michael Bolton. Her mom liked Michael Bolton a lot. Yeah. So, yeah.
Michael Bolton.
Yeah, we've had some interesting selection on that. Yeah, my early music memories were not... cool stuff either, not stuff that I would hold up to today. So what was your first concert you went to?
Oh, that's very easy. It was Garbage in 1996.
Nice.
March of 1996.
So that was
Do you remember Garbage?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. I had quite a bit of a thing for one Shirley Manson back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I remember being infatuated with her and watching the music video a lot of times on... that Bond movie she did a theme song for. The World Is Not Enough. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, this was well before that even.
Right, right.
I actually got to see them 2 years ago with Blondie in Orlando, which was... They were really good. Blondie, not so much, but Garbage was really good.
Okay.
Still. And their drummer, I don't know if you know who he is. He's like
a Butch
Vig. Producer.
Oh, yeah, amazing. I love Butch. Yeah, he... he is one of those I would love to meet.
I actually got to meet him.
Really?
Yeah. And when they toured with Hole in 2002, I met the whole band except for Shirley Manson, of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Butch, I would just love to sit down and have some conversations with him about some of the recording stuff, even though I'm sure he wouldn't give any dirt.
No.
But he just seems like an interesting guy. He's... had his hand in a lot of production on a lot of really seminal albums. So,
did you watch that Foo Fighters thing on HBO?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I actually really want Butch to collaborate with the Foo Fighters again, because one of my favorite Foo Fighter albums, Waste in Light,
produced. Was a great album.
Yeah, so I really want him back. Like, I like their newest album, but I really would like to have another Butch Vig Foo Fighter collab. So
I love that. Was that a Rope? That
yeah.
Was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay. When I was in her car stereo for, God, like 2 years, not on the amount.
Understandable. Like, for the longest time, I probably every couple months would go back to that album. Like, that's how much I love that album.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite Foo Fighters album, actually, if I had to pick one.
Nice. It was high on my list. I can't remember where I put it, but it's probably like top four anyway, at least.
Oh, yeah, that's so much good stuff. It's hard to pick.
It really is. So what's
who would have known the drummer from Nirvana would have been such a great frontman?
Right, right.
It's crazy.
I actually watched some footage of them last night. I was going through some random footage on Coelho. They just had some few songs from a lot of different concerts available for free, and it was something from a 1991 show. So Dave looked so crazy young, which to me was.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. He probably weighed like 140 pounds. And
I know.
Yeah, no facial hair. Yeah, it was really crazy.
Nirvana.
What was the first album you purchased?
Well, I didn't get one. It was, I did one of those, she did like BMG or CD headquarters, one of those things. Those,
okay.
You know, those CD order things, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Like Columbia House. And I remember the first batch of CDs I got was Green Day Dookie, Weezer the Blue Album, Woodstock 94, and the Friends soundtrack. One of those things that's not like the others.
Right, right. Yeah. I love Dookie. That was an album that I had a bootleg on cassette, but I listened to that all the time.
Dookie's fantastic. I actually got a few years ago for PlayStation 3 the Green Day version of Rock Band.
Yeah, yeah.
And so much fun playing Dookie.
Yeah.
The whole album's fantastic.
It was one of my first risque albums I had. I just felt so cool listening to it. Like such a rebel. Like I know my mom would have destroyed that thing so much if she had heard it. But
listen to it, yeah.
Yeah.
And my parents were actually, they didn't really care. I mean, my stepmother at that point, like she like forced a hair metal down my throat in like the late 80s. So I was she was fine with whatever I listened to.
Right. Yeah, I didn't have that experience.
Motley Crue, you know?
I didn't have that experience with music. I had a lot more that had to be secretive for a while. But
yeah, well, my stepmother was a lot younger than my dad, so she was, I mean, obviously older than me, but she was considerably younger than my mom was. So okay. She, you know, was still kind of quote unquote hip. So like when I was like 8, I was listening to like Smokin' in the Boys Room or whatever.
Nice. Well, cool. And then the last question I always ask in music memories, and I actually think I know the answer, but I'm not 100% sure. Do you sing or play an instrument?
I sing terribly. I try to. I did play a little bass back in the day. Back in my day, like 18 years ago, I played a little bass. Now I just strictly stick to slapping the plastic bass for Rock Band.
Nice.
Play.
Do you still play Rock Band?
I love Rock Band. I don't have I have a PS4 now, so I don't have the PS4 Rock Band. It's eventually something I will be getting.
Right.
But all the Rock Band games I have were for PS3, so I can't play it anymore.
Right.
Unless I hook up the PS3, but...
Yeah,
I love Rock Band. It's such a fun game.
I've got to find my adapter for my Xbox 360 so I can go back and play some Rock Band and some Guitar
That's
Hero.
So fun.
I never had the whole...
I downloaded a bunch of songs...
Mm-hmm.
It's so much fun. Guitar Hero I didn't like, but Rock Band I loved.
Oh, okay. I went back and forth between the two. I didn't have nearly as good of a set list as my friend Greg did, but I did have a good bit on my 360, so I'll probably one day hook it back up.
Did you have all three games?
No, I had a very weird selection and then just some downloaded stuff.
Gotcha. I had Rock Band 1, 2, and 3. I had all the track packs. I got Green Day Rock Band. I had Beatles Rock Band, too.
Oh, my God. I spent way too much time on Beatles Rock Band.
I downloaded a bunch of different track packs. Like, Bush had a track pack, too, which I downloaded.
Nice.
Yes. I think Foo Fighters had, like, 3 full albums you could download.
Yeah, we got The Color and the Shape. I remember playing that one a lot. Metallica Guitar Hero I loved. I bought the Van Halen Guitar Hero just because it had an Alter Bridge song on it. And that was the only place I could get an Alter Bridge song to play.
Interesting.
Guitar Hero style. Yeah.
Huh. One of my favorite songs to play, because I do, like, when I do play, I play as the bass. My favorite song to play on Rock Band was always Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer.
Nice.
It was really hard. But a lot of fun.
So you say you haven't played bass in a long time?
Oh God, it's been not since my teens, late teens.
Were you trying to play in a band, or were you just goofing around?
Both.
Okay.
Me and my friends had a quote unquote band. We had a band name, but we never did anything ever. So. Like we had pictures of us and like a logo, but we never did anything.
Okay,
you know, it was stupid high school shit.
Well, I mean, I had a band in early college, and we actually did 2 songs, a demo, and had all the art and the photo and everything.
Wow.
But then we disbanded right around the time we sold the demo. And when I say sold the demo, we sold it to, just our friends and, people in college. We didn't, try to get a label or anything. We blew up way before, or fell apart right before anything could have happened. But it was just funny. We put way too much time into it, the look and everything of it. And then it was so short-lived, the actual experience. There was a good build-up to it. But then once we got together and started rehearsing and everything, it's crazy how realistic it is, how quickly a band can fall apart.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Look at some of these new bands. Who is it? Fun?
Yeah.
One hit, and then what happened?
Right. Yeah, I think they're supposed to eventually have another album. They had 2 albums, but it was their second one that got big. But then, one of the dudes, not the lead singer, has had so much success outside the band that I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I say success. I think it's the Bleachers he's in.
I've heard of them.
Something like that. I think they've had a pretty
good... The guy, the singer, did a song with Pink.
Yes. Yeah, I liked it pretty well.
Pink is one of my guilty pleasures.
It doesn't have to be guilty.
Not really into pop, so... And when I say guilty pleasure like that, Katy Perry's another one.
No shame there either. I have my moments where I really dig some of Katy Perry's music, and then other times I'm just like, hey, she's hot.
I've seen Katy Perry in concert more times than I'd like to admit.
How many times is that?
3 or 4.
Oh, okay. That's the way you said it. I was expecting some astronomical number.
No. Not that crazy. Although the band I have seen the most live, I think, is Local H. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
No clue who that is, no.
Really? Because they had a huge, huge song called Bound for the Floor. I'm sure if you've heard it, you would know what it is.
Right.
It was huge, huge in 97, 98.
It's very possible. Yeah, that happens a lot. Once I hear a song, I'm like, oh, okay. Because so much of my 90s music, I was consuming just through the radio. So unless I caught the part where it said who they were, and it was before I had internet home.
I'll have to send you the video or whatever after we get off. But yeah, I guarantee you've heard the song.
Okay.
But it's not even like I went to see them. I saw them open for Stone Temple Pilots. I saw them open for Silverchair. I saw them open for Fuel.
Dude,
I saw them at
You saw Silverchair?
Radio festivals,
Oh my God, I'm so jealous right now.
So I'm on the Freak Show tour. Concert sold out in 30 minutes.
My God, okay, that's awesome. Yeah, we're going to have to do a concert episode one of these days then, because you've got a lot of different experiences than me.
Not recently.
But no, that's okay. Dude, as I think we've talked about, and we'll definitely talk about in this episode, is so much of my love of music. Like, I love some modern music, and I don't want to trash modern stuff and say there's not any good there. There is plenty good there. It just doesn't get exposure. But, like, the 90s, like, I have such a love spot for that era of music that I don't think will ever leave me. So that actually segues very well into our topic. So a lot of times, listeners, when I'm trying to come up with a topic, like, I just kind of just start spitballing ideas, and I have a couple things in mind, but it kind of evolves as I start talking to the guest. And so, like, my original thought on this episode was kind of high school music. Like, I know I've done a couple 90s things, but I wanted to really pinpoint into more of my high school time, and for me that was 99 through 2002 kind of stuff. But then I really, my whole idea of revisiting this was I wanted to revisit some stuff from, like, the late high school that even went a little bit into the 2000s, because I found out a couple albums I was stupidly placing still in the 90s were not 90s albums. They were actually early 2000s. I found that out recording a few months ago when I was doing some research. So anyway, Jason and I spitball back and forth some ideas, and finally came up with 98 to 2003, and where we picked out some of our favorite albums from that time period. And it's just a way to kind of nostalgically look back at some of that time and think back to some of the memories from that time, because it's, I don't know, I love doing that and just thinking about things I experienced and how I experienced the albums at that time. So anyway, that's basically where this came from. I'm looking at my notes to see if there was anything else I might have written better than what I'm currently saying and explaining it, but
I think what you're saying is fine.
Okay. Well, then
makes sense.
Then we're going to get into it, and we'll go ahead and say when we started preparing for this, it became very obvious it was going to be a two-parter, because we were coming up with so many albums, and I'm trying to keep the episodes a little shorter than I used to, so it just made sense if we were going to cover more than five albums, we needed to do a two-parter. So this will definitely be a two-parter. Jason actually ordered his albums. I did not put mine in order. I'm just going to talk about five of them this time and five of them the next time. So anyway, I guess that's all the background I need to give y'all. Maybe that's too much background, but it is what it is. I will throw one more thing out there. I don't want to bore listeners, but mine, you might notice some omissions of bands that I love to talk about. And that is a purposeful omission on my part, because I challenge myself to not just reuse the same albums over and over again. So even though a lot of you might not remember albums I've mentioned from previous episodes, I do. And I don't want to just have the same five albums each episode. So certain bands, major albums, are not on this list. So we'll probably revisit that more in the second part, because I don't want to give away anything right at this point, but I did want to go ahead and get that thought out there. So without any further ado, Jason, what would be your, I guess this would be your number 10 on your list?
It is my number 10 album. And it's from a band not many people probably too familiar with. They had a couple hits here and there. They were on a couple soundtracks, but I happen to really enjoy this album, and it's from this band named American Hi-Fi.
Okay, yeah, I remember them.
And it's a self-titled album. The big hit from this one was a song called Flavor of the Week.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But it's Week, W-E-A-K, not Week, like Monday through Friday. It was really, really, really great single. I actually didn't get into the album until, it was funny, I was at a concert, and it was an in-between band thing where they were just playing music on the house speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And they happened to be playing this album. And I was loving it. So I bought the album and it made my list.
Nice.
Some of the other tracks on this album that are really good. There's a song called Scar. There's another one called Safer on the Outside. I'm a Fool, I believe, it featured in the movie Van Wilder. I don't know if it's on the soundtrack, but that's another really good song. And there was another song called Another Perfect Day, which they actually made a music video for that featured comedian Patton Oswalt.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's a really, really fun video if you're a fan of Patton Oswalt. I would check it out. But yeah, very unheralded, underrated band. The singer of American Hi-Fi was actually the drummer for a pretty successful 90s alternative band called Letters of the Cleo.
Oh, okay,
I don't know how many people are familiar with them. And he actually does a lot of drum spots. Like, he's a fill-in drummer for a lot of bands. Like, I've seen Everclear, where he's been the drummer, too, for them. So he's still very active in music. I don't think American Hi-Fi really does anything anymore, but I know he's still very active with his drumming.
Now, but, what soundtracks were they on?
I don't know if they're actually on soundtracks, but I know their music has been in movies.
Okay.
Like, I know, like I said, I know I heard it in Van Wilder. I'm pretty sure I've heard them in American Pie. Like, any of those early 2000s, like, teen comedies.
Right, right.
American Hi-Fi was probably farting around in there somewhere.
Probably Van Wilder was the one that I most recently heard, because I had, for some stupid reason, or no, yes, stupid, but for some reason I really wanted to revisit that one within the last 2 years, and...
The movie?
Yeah, the movie.
Oh, it's so great. Watch it. It's still good.
Okay. Yeah, I watched it a couple years ago. I was just... I guess after Deadpool, I was just like, let me go back to some of Ryan Reynolds stuff I saw, but it had been so many years.
Yeah. Van Wilder and Waiting are definitely two of the ones you should revisit.
Cool. Yeah, I know, I remember Flavor of the Week, definitely remember that one. But
so good. A lot of people may remember that as the Nintendo song.
Okay.
You remember that lyric? The Two Stones, Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, that was the Nintendo song of 2001.
Nice.
That's a really good song, really good album. If you haven't heard it, check that out.
Yeah, I don't know if I've heard the album all the way through, probably not, but I definitely know I've heard that song and probably another one. Well, cool. Said a little bit ago, I didn't actually put mine in order, but I just have some albums I wanted to talk about that are from this era. Mm-hmm. And one of them I'm going to go ahead and go with. It was one that surprised me that it came out in 2001, actually. I stupidly was putting it like 99 or 2000 a few months ago. But that is Three Doors Down, The Better Life. That is the album that everybody knows Kryptonite from.
Yeah, I would have said 99 for that, too.
Yeah, like, in my memory, I remember
2000.
One of my older friends introduced me to that, so, like, I knew he was still in high school, and so in my mind, I really put it earlier, but it's, according to Wikipedia, it's 2001, January 2001 is when it came out.
Interesting.
But yeah, like, the big hit was Kryptonite, but they're also had Loser that got some pretty good airplay around here. Oh, what is the other one? There was one other big
Here
one.
Without You? Is that one?
No, that's the follow-up album, I believe.
Okay.
The song that grabbed me from the get-go, other than the Kryptonite, Kryptonite's why I bought the album, but Duck and Run, I love that song. That one, to me, ages immensely well.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that song, too. Was that a single?
I think kind of unofficially, like maybe just rock radio or something. I think I remember seeing it listed.
I'm trying to, because I never had the album, and I don't know anyone that did, so I'm trying to figure out how I would know that song, but I know it.
Let me look.
It had to have been on the radio.
I'm pretty sure it was. I had too many pages up on my phone. Maybe I closed that one. I guess I closed that one. I'm pretty sure it was. Let's see. But the album just had a lot of energy and passion in it, and it was definitely kind of post-grunge, that kind of style, alternative thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, later years, kind of just wrote them off because of their more ballad stuff that they definitely turned to within just a few years, and that was just mainly what they did. And I'll admit, I've stopped listening to their newer stuff because after some of their stuff that felt like it was just ballad albums, I was just like, okay, I'm going to stick with what I love. But going back to this album was so much fun because has so much energy on it and has, like I said, Duck and Run's great. It starts out acoustic-y, but then it goes into just more rock. There's a song called Life of My Own, Better Life, Down Poison. All those are just really good guitar riffs and heavy drumming. even songs By My Side and Smack are really good rock songs. And then the one that kind of, I guess, showed the what they could do with ballads and sweeter sounding soft songs were like, So I Need You, and then the hit Be Like That was there.
Yeah, that was on American Pie too.
Okay. Yeah, Be Like That was...
That's a great song.
Yeah, their intro into that more songwriting that, of that style. And it got a lot of play.
Now I remember that song very well.
Oh, yeah. It's a great one. It's I actually like it better than a lot of their more their ballady songs. But yeah, that album for me just held up really well. I listened to it probably three times through when preparing for this episode. Like, I just really dug that album. Actually, even better than I remembered. Like, I remembered loving at least three songs off of it, but when I went back to it, I'm like, no, this whole thing, like, I dig it. It stayed in my car a lot once I got it. So there's, like, so many memories of just driving around in my friend's pickup truck or in my car listening to that song, so... Or listen to that album. But in particular, probably Loser and Kryptonite at that point. Because that friend, I think he just loved those two.
Nice.
So, what do you have next on yours?
Hold on one second. Just to confirm, the American Hi-Fi song, I Am a Fool, is on the Van Wilder soundtrack.
Okay.
I double-checked that as I was looking up Three Doors Down. So this other band is another one that no one's probably ever heard of, even less so than American Hi-Fi. I actually saw them because the local alternative radio station we had down here was doing a low-dollar concert for like $6 or something for Eve 6. But this other band opened up for Eve 6, and they were called Lucky Boys Confusion.
Oh, yeah.
They're a pop-punk band out of Chicago that not a lot of people have heard of. So they opened up. They blew us out of the water. They were absolutely amazing. We even actually ended up leaving before Eve 6 came on the stage because it was a Wednesday night at midnight and they hadn't come on yet. So we were like, eh, we can leave. But I ended up meeting these guys after the show. The name of the album is Throwing the Game. It came out in 2001. And they're really good if you're into the pop-punk kind of stuff. Some of the better tracks on the album. The single... was Fred Astaire, based on the singer actor from the 50s, 40s, I think.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And some of the other songs that are really good are called Saturday Night is one. Slip is probably my favorite song on the album. It's not as pop punk as the others. It's like more of a rock song. There's a cover of a pop song called Do You Miss Me that's really good. And there's another song called Dumb Pop Song that's quite good. Funny, may I do a quick funny story?
Yeah, of course.
We saw them. It was my birthday weekend one year. I'm not going to go into details beforehand, but it was a pretty bad weekend for me. So we had tickets to see them on Sunday night. We went to the show, and my girlfriend at the time talked to them before the show and was talking to the singer. And asked him to dedicate a song to me. And nice. He actually did. And, like, he had changed the lyrics of the song to my name. And it was actually quite an experience. It was a lot of fun. And if you guys haven't ever heard of them, which I'm sure a lot of you haven't, just give them a listen. They're so underrated.
Yeah, they're a band I'd never heard of, and you pointed them out to me a few months ago.
Yeah. Love these guys that did that. Unfortunately, the guitar player actually passed away from a drug overdose a few years back, but the rest of the guys got back together and they're still doing stuff in Chicago locally.
Sadly, that's one of those all too familiar stories with musicians.
Some people may be familiar with one of their songs off a later album. It's featured if you ever played MVP Baseball, it was on one of those games, one of their tracks.
Nice.
Off a later album, but this album is as good as it gets. It's so great.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, I can't add a whole lot to that because I know you sent a couple songs to me and I liked them, but it's not a band I really spent tons of time with, so I didn't really give a whole lot of feedback on there. So I guess I'll head straight into my next album, and that is one by Matchbox 20. It's one I'll admit I didn't get right when it came out, but I fell in love with it a little bit later, and it just was pretty much on constant loop. And like when I revisited it probably 2 weeks ago, I've listened to it so many times over the past couple weeks just because it's so strong. And that is More Than You Think You Are. Came out in September of 2002. The singles people will know from it would be either Disease or Unwell.
Unwell's great.
Yeah, Unwell's incredible. And then maybe Bright Lights. Like, that was a huge hit as well. And that's another really strong song. But I liked it because it showed evolution beyond just their just the heavy post-grunge, angry stuff that was on their debut album, which I love. It made it on one of my earlier lists probably about a year ago. One of my favorite best-known albums. But this one kind of took their music in a different direction while still having their energy and their good songwriting. Added a lot of piano into some songs, which added, you know, just transformed the sound a good bit. And to me, it just felt like Rob Thomas is becoming a little bit better of a songwriter maybe as time went on, or at least evolving as a songwriter. And so I don't know, I just really love this album. I think outside of those hits, I don't think it got nearly as much attention as their debut album, but I think it's just as good.
Wow, if it's just as good as it, I never, outside of Unwell, I never really listened to it, but that first album is top notch.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're saying it's as good, that's high praise.
That might be too high of praise, honestly, but it's it's where it stands in my head. Like, for me, right this second, it hits me emotionally, like it really does. Like, I can't help but feel things when I listen to this album. And it's not just Bright Lights and Unwell, because Unwell has always just almost brought tears to my eyes. Like, I just, something I can relate to way too well in certain circumstances of just moments where I'm just like, I know I'm better than this. I'm just having a weak moment right now. And if you give me a chance, you're going to realize I'm worth your time, whether that be for friendship or relationship or whatever. So that song still just like I said, just almost makes me well up a little bit. Not like a crying little baby kind of thing, but just like it makes me feel things.
And gives you the feels.
Yes, I was toying with whether I was going to actually say that or not, but yes.
I'll go ahead and do it for you. it's a statement I use all the time. It's all right.
There's some songs on there. All I Need is really good. Hand Me Down, really good. One that I love is called Downfall. Soul is really good. I ran out of time to write down all my thoughts on it. Like, I was busy when I was listening to it, so I can't give as big of a breakdown as I wanted to. But most likely, Soul or You're So Real are going to get used in this episode and as a transition song, because it's unlike most stuff you've ever heard from Matchbox 20, unless you've heard this album all the way through. And it's just something I really want people to kind of remember, because a lot of these bands, that as they get bigger or as time goes on and some of them go more poppy, people just kind of dismiss some of their earlier work, or at least I feel like that's the case. Some people definitely do. But there's tons of good stuff out there by some of these bands, and Matchbox 20 is one of those. So
I feel like they peaked really early and then kind of like declined.
They definitely peaked early, and then for whatever reason took a break, maybe just from being exhausted from touring, and then also to give Rob Thomas some time to do his solo stuff.
Yeah, I want to actually mention that for a second. That one solo hit he had, Lonely No More.
Yes.
So, back when I used to work at an optical, we used to have, like, the pop station on, so we'd hear, like, Gavin DeGraw and Keith Urban, whatever's popular in, like, 2003.
Right.
And then this song came on. I'm like, this is the worst Mark Anthony song I've ever heard in my life. Turns out it's Rob Thomas.
Right.
I thought it was, like, Mark Anthony.
Oh, I remember him. And I can definitely see why you would think that.
I wasn't into that solo stuff at all.
His second one I thought was a little stronger just because it went more back into singer-songwriter than hits. That first solo album was more trying to get dance hits or whatever will play on the radio hits, and not about songwriting whatsoever. So yeah, I think Metrobox 20 definitely suffered from having to take those breaks, and then, but I definitely feel the first and third album were incredibly good. Probably Mad Season, if I went back and revisited it more, I might feel more strongly towards it. As it stands,
that had a Bent or
yeah.
something, right?
Yeah, Bent was the big song. I really dug a deep track off of it. And I know we're not talking about that album, but I did want to mention it anyway. I don't care. And I'm making my rules up as we go. There's a song called Crutch.
Hey, it's your podcast. You can do whatever you want.
There's a song called Crutch that's really, really good. That and I'm going to do one more and then I'm going to stop. Rest Stop. Rest Stop. If Rest Stop doesn't make you
these
cry.
These are on the second one?
Yeah, these are on Mad Season. But yeah, both Crutch and Rest Stop, if they don't bring you to tears or at least make you feel something, I think you're dead inside.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm kidding. But they definitely they to me, they are really strong songs. So that's an emotional. And even though like I can't completely relate to the exact scenario on the song, but there's just enough there that they make me feel something. So
you know what's funny? My two favorite Matchbox 20 songs fall out. Outside of the 1998 to 2003 thing we set up.
Oh, okay.
Off of Yourself or Someone Like You, Long Day. Is
nice.
My, 100% my favorite. And I really like How Far We've Come.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, Long Day was my favorite, probably like my top five favorite high school. I'm having a pissed off day and I need to emote. And just need to get some anger out, and it helped that it had profanity in it, and I just got to sing along with it and drop it. I don't know, that just, the way the song opens just really worked for me. So, yeah.
Oh,
wow.
I actually got to see them maybe 2 years ago. They did a tour with Counting Crows.
Nice. Oh, that's right, they did do that together, yeah.
Yeah, Counting Crows was god-awful. I mean, alright, so when you think of Counting Crows, what song do you think of?
Mrs. Jones.
Yeah, guess what they didn't play?
Mrs. Jones, yeah.
I Wanted to Sleep. But Matchbox 20 was incredible.
Yeah, any footage I've seen
of, do without.
Any footage I've seen of Matchbox has been incredible. I have one of their DVDs of one of their concerts that I have not watched. It's one of those, as we were talking offline or off the air earlier, that I bought impulsively and forgetting about.
At the closing store, yeah.
Actually, that one wasn't closing, but it was like ridiculously cheap sell on Amazon. I'm like, okay, I'm going to grab it. So, anyway, I've rambled on about Matchbox way too much, but that just shows how much I love them. But yeah, anyway, Mad Season doesn't count in there, but I do recommend those tracks. But what was the name of this album again? I'm bad with names. Yourself. No, More Than You Think You Are.
Yeah, Yourself was something that was the first one. I think.
Some reason, those two titles have always gotten tangled in my mind. I guess because they're both kind of wordy.
They're kind of similar.
They are. So, what is your next one? I guess it would be your number 8.
Yes. This band actually, probably out of what's on here, may be one of the more popular ones. I'm sure many people are familiar with the song Headstrong.
Oh, yeah. Trapped,
exactly.
Yes.
The subtitled album.
Sorry, not trying to steal your thunder, but yeah, I got excited. I love that song.
It's all good. My old friend, he's not really a music guy, but this is the only in the 19 years of friendship we had. It was the only band he ever turned me on to was Trapped. And this album was fantastic. Everyone knows Headstrong. That's one of the bigger songs of the early 2000s. Songs like Echo was really great. Still Frame is another one. The song Echo, actually, going back to our group chat the other day in the group chat, live chat, Michelle Trachtenberg, I think is her name, from the movie Eurotrip.
Yes.
She's actually in the video for Echo.
Oh, wow, okay.
Let's Still Frame, the song called Stories. That's Stories in New Beginning are probably my two favorite songs on the album, and they're more like the ballads. They're both really strong songs. The whole album is really good. Even the follow-up is outside of the parameters that we set for this thing. It's actually probably an album I prefer to this one, but still, top to bottom, every song is fantastic. Can't go wrong with it. It's like the tail end of that, the quote-unquote new metal that was really popular in the late 90s, early 2000s. It's still kind of in that vein, but not as, you know, angsty.
Right, right.
It's not, he's not wearing a backwards red baseball cap. He's not talking about his dad.
Right.
It's really good stuff. I'm sure a lot of people have heard them. But yeah, it's a really strong album, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's one of those albums that I agree with you. I liked every song off of it. And I love the diversity on the album. Like, it wasn't... Mm-hmm. Like, there was so much diversity on the album that it made it not run together, which is something...
And the best thing about them... go ahead, sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I was just going to say that I love that about it, because some bands like put out a great album, but so many of the songs run together, and you can't remember the names of them, because some of the songs kind of sound similar. But you didn't mm-hmm. run into that on this album, not to me anyway.
And the reason I like Stories and New Beginnings so much is because it focuses so much on his voice. And you wouldn't know it by listening to Headstrong, but he has a really, really strong voice. If you ever get a chance to look up some of their acoustic stuff, just listen to it. He could sing. He can sing. He's nice. Got an awesome voice.
Yeah, I remember like loving Headstrong and not expecting to find some of the more mellow songs on this album, and it really shocked me, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, even from that time period where I was usually going more towards the heavy, I didn't care. I just loved pretty much anything I heard off of it.
Yeah, the second album is quite a bit heavier.
Mm-hmm.
I love that second album. Have you ever heard it?
I have.
Oh, I think it's fantastic.
It's good. I it's one I really need to revisit, because at the time
I think you should.
I didn't feel that some of the songs stood out from each other as much, but it might have just been the mood I was in at the time.
Yeah. Like, Waiting is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Oh yeah,
songs.
That's great. I remember that one. I loved that one.
Disconnected, so good. Like the single they chose for it, I think it was they should have gone that route. Maybe that's why I didn't do as well. But yeah, it's a great follow-up.
Yeah, it's Stand Up. I don't remember Stand Up. That's
yeah.
Interesting.
It's really heavy. Really, it's like more aggressive than Headstrong.
It might have been trying to more appeal to that crowd, when they should have just picked one that actually was catchy.
Waiting.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Waiting's incredibly catchy.
It's the second single.
Yeah. It's funny, bands do that sometimes. They sometimes feel the aggression's a better way to go, and I'm like, you still got to have a catchy chorus that's going to get stuck in someone's head if you really want it to be a good single.
Agreed.
Can you
give me 1 second?
Yeah.
I have to walk away. Sorry.
That's okay. Oh, no worries.
She went out to work, and she didn't know I was doing a podcast today, so I didn't want her to like come out here and start like doing whatever, but it wasn't her. So.
No problem.
All right.
Let's go with my third album I'm going to talk about. And what is that going to be? Let's see. I guess because I did the better write-up, I'm going to go ahead and go with it. And that is going to be something totally different than my first two. And that is...
I'm very intrigued.
Maroon 5, Songs About Jane.
Is this the one with Harder to Breathe?
Yes. This is their big debut album that... at the time was so well known, and I guess it's still well known.
Very well known.
Yeah. Most people that do like them, or I shouldn't say most people that do like them, most people in our age branch, remember this album, and a lot have kind of given up on the band because of how they've gone way popular in recent years, and honestly, at times doesn't sound like there's even a band there. It's just kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, production stuff and then Adam Levine. But this album, you can hear a full band putting together an album. You can hear everything in the album, like all the instruments in the album.
Yes.
And it's so much diversity. I love this because Harder to Breathe is a little heavier than their songs at this point.
I'll say it's their heaviest song.
Pretty much. There was one on their second album that was pretty heavy. Wasn't nearly as good, but it was pretty heavy. by their standards,
not by normal standards, but in the realm of Maroon 5.
Right, right. But like, they make my list because his voice is incredible. And these songs, once again, even though I might not have been through these experiences, like, they make me feel something. They make me get involved. My words are not coming to me as well. But, like, okay, so the big hits, She Will Be Loved, Hard to Breathe, and the one that got so overplayed but still good is This Love. Those are all good songs, like, they really are. But for me, it's some of the deep stuff that I really get into. I really like Shiver and Get Out. Both of those are great. But, I mean, I really like everything off of it. But the ones I wanted to even throw more attention to would be a pull-up list. Okay. What did I just say? Okay. Through With You and Not Coming Home. Those both just have such an instrumental breakdown and just, like, they're a little more jammy, like more of a jamming kind of sound and with some funk and some soul and everything that, I don't know, they're just very, very different than their singles.
I prefer them when their instrument, they use their instruments rather than what's going on now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But those two songs, you can hear the keyboard and the kind of like has an organ effect on it. Heck, they could have recorded with an actual organ, I don't know. Those two in particular, like I said, Through With You and Not Coming Home, they're so good. But even the songs like Sunday Morning, The Sun, they're just, like, I like every song. It is one that I encourage you, if you've never heard it all the way through, you got to. You got to give it a chance. Don't, if you've discovered them in more recent years and think they just have songs about payphones and, you know, feature rappers and crap like that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be that mean. I can enjoy rap at times, but if that's all you think they are, go back and try this, because that might not be your style. Or even if that is your style, you might still appreciate this album. Like, it is just something so strong that I feel like a lot of my friends lost interest in them as they ventured from this. And I get it, I really do. But I follow them all the way through, and I still find some gems in there, even in some of the newer stuff. Not necessarily the newest two, but definitely the follow-up albums I did, like 2 and 3, second and third album, I mean. So,
I'm not the biggest Maroon Fan 5. Maroon Fan 5. Maroon 5 fan. I really, just outside of the singles, I didn't know much. She's a big fan of them.
Okay.
So, it was, I want to say, the album that came out in 2012, maybe 2013.
Okay.
I know there was a song called Dirt on it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do. I do.
Which album is this one?
This is called Overexposed.
Yes. I really like that album. Like, a lot. We used it as our soundtrack to go to Disney for like 5 months straight.
Nice.
I loved that album. So if it's anything, I think that was more, that wasn't fully what they are now. Right. They were getting there with this album.
It was the first one that went that direction.
Okay.
Yeah, because even their first three albums, you hear a lot more instruments in, but by the one Overexposed, it was their fourth album, you could tell they were really trying different things to get played on pop radio.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a critical way necessarily, but just the third album did not do nearly what they thought it would be. It was called Hand All Over. It was actually
I like that album too.
I do too, but it did not seem to get much radio attention. I don't think.
But didn't that one have moves like Jagger?
The reissue of it did. The original version did not.
There's a song. It wasn't on the album. It was a hidden track. Not hidden. Like a bonus track from that album that I love. I gotta look up the title. It's gonna drive me nuts. But yeah, I outside of the singles, I haven't heard anything off the first album. Maybe I should revisit that myself.
You really should. Since you know more of their newer stuff, I don't know if it will translate quite as well. But definitely being my first introduction to them, it was just something that I fell in love with. And where it
falls. I love Harder to Breathe. That's probably my favorite Maroon 5 song.
It's really good.
All this is going to drive me nuts.
The only thing I could think might have been a hidden track would it be Out of Goodbyes with Lady Antebellum? Was there?
No, it was okay. Definitely not that.
Okay,
I'm on the Wikipedia page right now. I'll get it okay. In a second. No Curtain Call.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is a deluxe edition bonus track. Have you heard it?
I have. Just the list in hand in front of me did not so have good. That list. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I made sure to buy the deluxe edition of Hands All Over.
Never Gonna Leave This Bed, but that was a good song, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Misery.
Yeah, I thought that album was really good, but I think it didn't sell like they wanted, and that's why, like, a little bit later they did moves like Jagger and then, like, reissued the album with that song on it.
Yeah.
To help the album sell better. Yeah, I really liked that album, but it felt like one of those things where this album didn't sell very well, so we're going to do a quick follow-up that's going to be a lot more poppy to, you know, make sure we don't lose the steam. And that's what happened. It's what Goo Goo Dolls did back in like 2011 or so. They put an album that didn't really have that many catchy songs on it, and so therefore, like, probably after a year, they're like, we're back in the studio!
And then Goo Goo Dolls lost me in, like, the 2000s.
I love them through Let Love In. I really still love that album. But, yeah, they...
Dizzy at the Girl almost made my list.
It's definitely made a previous list of mine, because it is absolutely one of my favorite albums.
Black Balloon, off that song.
Oh, yeah. So, any other thoughts on Maroon 5?
And now I want to listen to that bonus track again. I'm going to have to do that to
get off. Yeah, definitely encourage anybody, like I said, to listen to any of their stuff, especially their first three albums, because it's so different than the stuff we're getting now. And like I said, I don't dislike, when I'm in the mood for it, the new stuff. It's just, it's not what I had hoped for from them. And I think that's what hurt a lot of people that discovered them through Songs About Jane is... When they diverged from that path, people were just like, they could have done so much more in that style. I'm like, yeah, they could have, but, I mean, life goes on. Bands do what they got to do to stay relevant. And so,
yeah, it happens.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Everyone.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to do our last couple albums. So, don't go anywhere.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place Me Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceMeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place Me Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTB In Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post-Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlaceMeNation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceMeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceMeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we're back. Jason is still here with me, and we're discussing our top, well, five of our top favorites albums from 98 to 2003. And where we left off would be, Jason's, I guess this would be your number seven? Yeah.
That is correct. And this album is one from a band you did a full episode on.
Nice.
With one Mr. Tim Capel.
Okay.
And that is Our Lady Peace's Gravity.
Nice.
I know a lot of Our Lady Peace fans are not too fond of Gravity, and that's fine. But this is honestly the album that really got me into them. Because of Gravity, I went back and got into their previous Clumsy and Spiritual Machines. And, what's that other one? With the Happiness.
Oh, Happiness is Not a Fish You Can Catch.
That one too. But, man, Somewhere Out There is such a powerful, powerful song. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, like I've mentioned before, Bush is my favorite band. But if I were to put together a supergroup of my liking, my singer would be Rain.
Oh, Rain's incredible.
His voice is another level of ridiculous. Some of the songs on there that are really good, All For You, great kickoff to the album.
Have you ever heard the concert from, I think it was from Calgary, it was like 2000 feet?
The live DVD?
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things of theirs to listen to, and their All For You is so energetic on that one.
When they do 3 a.m. And the whole crowd sings the whole thing, that's... Like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Another song that is probably my favorite song in the album is Not Enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great.
And I don't know if many are familiar with it, but WWE actually used that song back when they were doing these Desire videos focusing on particular superstars, quote unquote. They did a Desire video to Not Enough for the artist Jeff Hardy. And it's really good. It goes so perfectly with that song. With every, like, rip, they would do, like, an awesome clip. So if you're a wrestling fan, look that up on YouTube. It's really, really fun. It goes really well with the song. But, yeah, like you guys mentioned on the episode, it's really good. It's a bit of a direction change from their previous albums. A lot poppier. I guess they wanted to get more mainstream exposure, and Somewhere Out There was a huge, huge hit for them.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, it was a gateway drug to old Our Lady Peace. I was familiar with a lot of their you know, radio singles, and I hadn't even gone to see them in concert, but I never listened to their albums. But because of Gravity, I went back and listened to all their albums. I know Our Lady Peace is easily in my top five bands.
Of all time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, that definitely explains why Tim mentioning that to you would make you check it out, because...
Oh, yeah. It's a great, great album.
Yeah, I've only been, like... I've only had, like, two friends that were, like, huge fans of them, and that'd be Russell and Sam, and obviously Tim, in more recent years of friendships. But, like, Russell and Sam, they would talk about it a ton back in the day, but... really hadn't met a ton of their fans.
Yeah, I loved Clumsy and Superman. I like those singles were awesome. And but back then, I'm not even going to blame them. Like back then, I just didn't listen to full albums. I was just like, oh, this is the song that's on the radio.
Right, right.
The only album I think I listened to beginning to end were 16 Stone and Elizabeth Suitcase. I just didn't do it. But you know, this era of music that we're talking about is the time I started, listening to full albums. And just Gravity has hit me. So good.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I was trying to give a shout out to which episode that was of mine. I think it's like either 7, 8, or 9. I don't know. Somewhere in there was my Our Lady Peace one. I couldn't scroll back that far in my Podbean app. quickly, anyway, I couldn't. Awesome. Now, have you ever heard their debut album, Navid?
I tried. It's not, I don't, maybe it's just not as polished enough for me. I know, like, Starseed and Onavid, but outside of that, it's just not one that caught me like the other ones did.
Right. I would,
but I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, it's one I can't go to often, but, like, if I'm just wanting to jam out in my car and kind of just sing aimlessly to it and then drum along on my steering wheel, it's got a lot of good drumming on it, so it's one of those that timing I enjoy. But as far as what I seek out of others with any regularity, it's not. But it's kind of just interesting to see where they came from, I guess, because that one was their 94 album, and it definitely is very of its time.
Yeah. Like, Clumsy is probably my second favorite.
Nice.
I love that album.
It's the first one I heard all the way through, actually, of theirs, because my friend Sam, that was one of his main albums he listened to early college.
The Automatic Flowers, that's a great song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that's got... Do you like
only, it? Unfortunately, I've only seen them like two or three times. I wish there were a band that toured more.
Yeah, I never saw them. One of my biggest regrets is not finding a way. In 2002, they had a free concert for some reason in Atlanta. But at that point, I had no friends that were into them. And I think I might have had to work that weekend. But I didn't make it happen, but that would have been cool.
The only three times I saw them was the previous, like I mentioned, with All American Rejects, and they were at two of the radio station festivals we had down here.
Okay.
Yeah, I miss that radio station so much. There was a period of time in South Florida, we had three like modern rock, alternative rock stations, and they all disappeared by 2005. All three of them were gone. And now we only have one, and it's, you know, whatever they call alternative nowadays.
Right. Did you mention stuff. Do You Like It? Was that one you
prepared? No, I don't think I did, but I do like it.
Right.
That's another great song. Was it a Sorry?
Yeah.
That's a song good. I like quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a really strong album. It's weirdly only 10 tracks long. I've always found that bizarre. 11 just felt like the perfect number for so long of tracks on an album, but that one's like, nope, 10. Let's just go with 10.
Weird. I'm used to albums like being, you know, 12, 13, 14 tracks, but it seems like actually a lot of these albums I've mentioned are only 10, 12 songs. Like, Trapped is only 10, I think.
Okay.
And my next album is only, I think it's only 11.
Well, cool.
Very weird.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to transition into my next to last one for today, and that's going to be a band I know you and I have talked off the air about them, but that is Incubus. I've previously mentioned my absolute favorite album by them, so I will not be primarily talking about that one this time. But it's going to be one that falls pretty close to it for me, and that is Morning View. I know you're not nearly as high on it as me, but I adore Morning View. Not nearly as much as Make Yourself, but I really dig it. I like it because it's going to be weird to say. The singles did not grab me nearly as well as they did from Make Yourself, but the album cuts just mean a lot to me. Like, it's just a good jam album. Let's pull up the track listing if you will work with me, phone. Okay. So obviously, the singles were Nice to Know You and Wish You Were Here. And I like those tracks. But for me, I really dig just the rockin' nature of like Circles and Blood on the Ground. Those two for me were just so much fun to listen to while I was either driving my car or one time trying to do some crazy stuff in a college dorm room where, like, nobody was still there. It was, like, five of us in the dorm, like, the hall and everything. And, like, we had this crazy obstacle we set up. Had a broken desk chair and some mattresses. And we were just, like, running really fast and, like, ramping into the mattresses and just, like, flying. Some really stupid young people stuff to do.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. It fit that mood so well. And I thought it was so cool. But then it has...
No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, then it has a really beautiful song It's sad, but it's really good. It's kind of acoustic-y and everything. It's Mexico. I really dig that one. Like, there is so much angst in there that you can just feel it and taste it. Like, it is, it's just a really good one. So there's all that, and then there's some kind of bizarre stuff, like Just a Phase, and Are You In, and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's a diverse album, and I really love it for that. What were you going to say?
It's not that I'm not high on the album. I'm going to have to tell you the story off air.
Okay.
There's something about Incubus and something personal I was going through at the time where I was kind of like boycotting their music.
Okay.
When this album was out. I did like the singles. Actually, even Make Yourself was a very, very late cut for my top 10 list.
Nice.
Late cut as of about 4 hours ago, they were on my list. Make Yourself.
How dare you mark them off your list? This ends now.
Make Yourself. Make Yourself was, like you were saying, it's such an amazing, amazing album. Out From Under is hands down my favorite track on it. It's not the album itself. It was something just I couldn't. I had a problem listening to Incubus at that particular time, which is why I probably would have gotten the album, but I couldn't do it at the time.
Understandable, though. I think we all have that experience at times where there's something that happens that's tied to it that we can't get into an album. But for me, like I said, it won't ever make it to the love level of Make Yourself, but Morning View was always just a fun album. It was unique, and they were experimenting so much on that album, and I loved that for it. Because to go from the heavy stuff and the regular catchy stuff to a song like Blood on the Ground, 11 a.m., I overlooked 11 a.m. It's a great track. But Mexico, I don't know, it just always resonates with me, just a such a more mellow song. But I love mellow songs that are still really angry. Like, it's stuff that sometimes gets regulated to hard rock songs, but they didn't.
Did you listen to Science?
I did, but the thing with me, and probably the reason why it doesn't grab me the same way, is it was a later thing. Like, it was, for me, it was like Make Yourself, Morning View, then Science that I heard.
Okay.
In the order.
So I did Make Yourself, then Science. Like, Make Yourself made me go back to Science.
Right.
And I know Science is a lot heavier than even Make Yourself, back when they were, you know, doing their Korn Family Values new metal nonsense.
Right, right.
But it's still an album I revisit here and there. I really, honestly, it's been long enough, I should go back and listen to Morning View at this point. I just haven't done it yet.
Cool.
Actually, there's a Incubus cover that I recommend. Actually, any of their live covers are great. It's like they've done like live covers of Duran Duran that are fantastic. But there's a cover, I don't know what album it was on, but I found it like surfing Kazaa back then. I don't know if you remember.
Kazaa. Oh, I do. I do. That.
Or Morpheus, one of those two. Those two virus-ridden software programs. I found a cover of the song Still Not a Playa.
Okay.
You don't know what this is?
I don't think I do, but I'm sure I'll know it when I hear it.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a big pun, I think, was the... But Incubus covered it, and it's brilliant. So if you can find it, I highly recommend listening to it.
I just made a little note of it to check out. I'll play on YouTube later and see. I probably mentioned in a previous episode, but like Brandon Boyd's voice is just so strong and so diverse that he is still the person I credit more than anything with me learning how to sing, not just lower register. Like, it was one of the things that made me force myself to try other things. Cause like after my voice change in my teens that everybody goes through, partly cause I'm trying to hit higher notes for a little while there, it just caused me to crack. But also, like, I just felt like, well, now I can hit the low notes. Let's just focus on that. And it was like, almost like I was scared to try for higher stuff. And then, like, hearing Incubus so much, I couldn't help but, like, I got to try this out. So it's kind of a weird mixture of, with my friends on band trips singing Beach Boys, And then Incubus, they kind of taught me how to to control my voice and get other sounds out of it. Obviously, I don't claim to be nearly as good of a singer as Brandon Boyd, but it definitely imitating him has helped a lot. And in more recent years, I will go back to real quick to Rain Maida. I learned a few techniques a couple years ago, probably 5 years ago, just how to transition notes so quickly, like how he does. Because he'll start so low, and then like next note, he's doing all that crazy falsetto.
Oh, and he's amazing with that.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I can't mention Incubus without saying how impressed I am with the singer. He is incredible.
He's another one that's up there for me too. He's got a set of pipes on him.
Oh yeah,
I love singing along to "Pardon Me."
Oh yeah, of course.
The fast kind of rappy-ish part, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I suck
don't sound
at that.
Good at all when I do it. But
right.
I either way,
I suck at that part. I mean, I try it, but I'm better on the sing one. You know, the ones just more of a singing than the rap part. But that was definitely "Pardon Me" is what got me into Incubus. That's the song that I credit. It's the first one I heard by them, at least that I knew was them.
And it, like I said, my voice is terrible going back to Rock Band. But whenever I did the singing in Rock Band, like my pitches were perfect. It just didn't sound good. Ever.
Weird thing about Rock Band is sometimes, especially like Beatles Rock Band, sometimes what it made you do to get the good score sounded horrible, at least for us, when we were doing the harmonies and stuff. When we sounded better, we wouldn't be scoring as well. So I don't know if it's off or if it was like there's just something about it, whether we were pitch right.
Measure pitch.
I guess so. It can't measure quality,
yeah,
I guess.
No,
and
well, trust me, because I sound like crap when I sing.
Right.
She's a great singer. And whenever she did Rock Band, her score was terrible.
Right.
It's just, I'm like, it's all about pitch. you gotta match your voice to the little ball wherever it's going.
Right. Well, cool.
Did I send you my karaoke video?
You did have a Bush song.
Yeah, I did it twice. That was the first time. not good.
So what is your number six?
My last album for today.
Yes.
It's my first foray into the emo music. I didn't care for it at the time, but once I got into them later, I went back to this album. Ended up loving it, and it's the album "Tell All Your Friends" from the band Taking Back Sunday.
Okay,
are you a fan of theirs at all?
I'm not, but I am aware of them. Like I don't know much about them, but I do remember a couple songs from them at the time. Like it's not that I dislike it necessarily; it's just not a band that resonated with me.
It was weird because, like with them, I like every other album. Like, I love this is their debut album. I hated their second album, and I absolutely love their third album. The third album's probably the best one of the bunch. Unfortunately, it's out of our time parameters here.
Right.
But this album is really good. My favorite song is called "Cute Without the E," cut from the team. And even if you don't care for the music, just watch the music video, because it's like a take on Fight Club.
Okay.
And it's fantastic, and it's a really, really good song. He's another one. His voice is not like great, but the things he does with it, it's different, and it works for this music. Some of the other songs that I love, there's one called "You're Still Last Summer." I think that's the one that had a music video with Flava Flav.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very. Odd, like he's up there with a mic, like lip syncing the song to Adam Lazara's vocals, and it's really funny. Some of these other songs, "Timberwolves at New Jersey," "Great Romances of the 20th Century," "There's No I in Team." It's such a great album, and it's like, I mean, I don't love a lot of emo, but this is one of the very few bands I'm really into. This album and the album that came out, I think, in 2005 called "Louder Now" are both very, very strong albums, and I highly recommend both just to give them a shot. if you can get into it.
I need to try. I'll tell you off air an interesting story of part of the reason why I've dismissed them for so many years. So,
all right. so that has something to do with brand new?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, listeners, we're just going to make you wonder what happens behind the scenes of stories that we won't share on air. But this is not Talking Pop or anything of that nature where we dive extremely. Yeah, we're not doing extremely personal stuff, not on my show. So.
No 9/11 deniers?
No, definitely. Definitely not on this one.
Sorry, Greg.
So, my last one I'm going to talk about is a band that I'll admit I didn't actually own this album until way later than The Parameters. But they stood out in my mind so much at the time, and I heard a lot of their stuff because they were everywhere, and they'd make it on the mixed CDs friends would give me and stuff. And that is the band Fuel.
Ooh.
Something Like Human is the one that actually made the list.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. Last night I realized that their debut album would have made the Parameters as well, but I didn't have time.
That was a late cut for me too.
I didn't have time to revisit it. I stupidly just assumed it didn't make the cut, so I just only focused on Something Like Human, and there's tons on it that it still deserves to be here. But it was just kind of funny that I'm like last night late I noticed that. I'm like, crap, I did not even notice that. So, anyway, it starts out, I mean, obviously, you know Hemorrhage in My Hands. Like,
yeah, of course.
If you were alive in the 90s, or in early 2000s, this actually came out in September of 2000,
yes.
You heard this song. My friend Greg, he loves to just randomly burst into, "In my hands, in my hands again." He'll just randomly do that. Anytime I mention the band Fuel, like, immediately he does that, and I'm like, shut up, let me tell my story. And
nice.
But yeah, I mean, you can't go anywhere without hearing that song, especially back then. And
oh,
that,
yeah,
is
that was huge.
Definitely one of their biggest songs.
I would say their biggest, without a doubt.
Probably so, yeah. We used it in a home video for class, actually. I was in charge. Well, creatively, I was in charge of most of it, and I definitely did all the music for it, but I used it in a wonderful R reimagining of Macbeth, and during the death scene of Out, Out, Damn Spot, I used Hemorrhage in My Hands, and so, yeah, it will always be resonating in my head as that moment. It was, you'll have to see it for it to be funny, but it was extremely funny, because the one part I was not in control of, or I say wasn't in control of, it wasn't my idea, was some friends would get me to dress up as Lady Macbeth.
Oh, man.
And so I was the one dying in the scene, and I took it as my acting masterpiece time to really overact, and so the mixture of that and the song, it's fun. But
nice.
Beyond that, the other song that was kind of big was Innocent, and that's really good.
Yep.
One that got a lot of radio play because it was, I guess, more pop-ridden, and that's Bad Day.
Yep.
And I like it, but it's not one that I visit a whole lot. And let me pull up the track listing. The album starts out really heavy. There's so much heavy stuff on this album between Last Time, Empty Spaces, Down, Solace, Knives. All these are just really good rockin' songs. It really makes me sad that this band didn't last longer than they did as far as in the current, in their peak bandmates. Like, you know, just that iteration of the band, because
yeah, it was him, wasn't
right.
it, Brett?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened, but I know Brett left the band after the third album.
Yeah,
and I did not dig the replacement, but at least the guitarist, who was so seminal and like he was so important in making the songs, like it became very obvious he was a big part of the songwriting.
Saw them with the new guy.
Yeah. And yeah, I didn't dig the new guy.
Well, I uh, being a wrestling fan, I'm very familiar with one of their songs with the new guy. It was used heavily when Ric Flair was quote unquote retiring in 2010. That song was played over and over and over and over again for like a month straight on TV.
Nice. Like,
leave the memories alone. Oh God, that song. But anyway, it's Brett, you know, once he left, it was kind of rough.
Yeah, their lineup is so weird because they did three albums: Sunburn, Something Like Human, and Natural Selection. Same singer, same guitarist. Then Brett's not in the band. They put out an album in 2007. I didn't dig it. I have not heard their 2014 when Brett is now back in the band, but without
everyone else is different.
Right. It's so crazy, all the suing and everything that happened for the rights of it. Because, like, for a little while, Brett was touring as, like, Refueled or some crap like that. Just him and a bunch of hired guns. But the other guys were touring as Fuel, and then somehow it changed. And anyway, it's bizarre, but I can't take anything away from how great the first two albums were. Mm-hmm. Both Sunburn and Something Like Human are incredible. And
yeah, they're one of the bands that regularly play Epcot nowadays. Like them, but like Everclear and Smash Mouth.
Oh, okay.
Sugar Ray.
Where is that
Sunburn
at?
Sunburn is...
That's a, what's up? Is that a festival? Epcot. Oh, Epcot. Okay, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, it's the... whenever they do the Food and Wine Fest, they have a musical artist there all the time.
Nice, okay.
I've seen Everclear there the past 3 years.
In my head, I heard Apricot, and I'm like, I know he's not saying Apricot.
Epcot.
Yeah. No, I know that is. So anyway, yeah, this is the band I was joking with you off air saying you would understand when I explain this is one I can't sing a whole lot without losing my voice.
So I thought you were talking about Incubus.
No, well, you know, that will strain my voice, but this, because of the gruffness, I can't do gruffness long at all without losing it.
Yeah, he is a good voice. Another strong vocalist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. A Sunburn. What's the song I'm thinking of? There's a song called Sunburn on Sunburn, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, that's the song I'm thinking of. Oh, that song. Holy crap, it's amazing.
Yeah, my first introduction of that album was on a mixtape a friend, or a mix CD a friend made me. It had both Shimmer, Bittersweet, and then...
Yeah, Shimmer's great.
Hemorrhage and some other stuff.
Jesus for a Gun?
It didn't have that one for some reason. I later heard that one.
No Sunburn either?
I don't remember. I don't think so, but maybe.
That song is so good.
I know
it's probably my favorite Fuel song.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So you're fine. I was just gonna say that's our first half of this. We will come back, not next month, but the following month with the second half of this, and you'll hear what would be Jason's top five, my arbitrary other five. like I said, my indecisiveness. I didn't want to just throw a number on them. So just making the list itself was hard enough this time because of all the caveats I threw at myself that I'll later explain on the next episode because I don't want to give away who I didn't include. But yeah, it's unless you just want to go through and listen to all of my other episodes and then you'll figure it out. But I highly doubt that's going to be motivation enough for that. But what were you going to say, Jason? I'm sorry, we were...
Oh, it's like we're talking about how Fuel like went on with a different singer.
Yeah.
Another band... that I saw with a different singer. I don't know if you're familiar, but Everclear every year does this tour every summer called the Summerland Tour, where they take various 90s bands out on tour with them. One of the shows I saw was Everclear, Soul Asylum, Eve Six, and Space Hog. They did another one. It was Everclear, Fuel, American Hi-Fi, of all things. There's another one. It was Sugar Ray, Sponge, there's another one I went to. It was Everclear, Sponge, Filter, and Live.
Oh, man, Live. Oh,
but it was Live without Ed.
Oh, no!
You say that, but this singer was really good.
Okay.
As opposed to the Fuel guy. I don't know if you're even familiar with the fact that they offered... after American Idol, they tried to get Daughtry to be the singer of Fuel.
I do remember that, and I actually wanted that, because Daughtry has such range.
Yes.
I'd been good with that.
I mean, Daughtry did okay on his own.
Oh, yeah, I definitely understand why Daughtry did his own, because that first album is no hits. It's incredible.
But Yeah, the singer they got for Fuel, for Live, was, like, wow. So I don't understand how they didn't do well with him. I mean, I get it. Ed Kowalczyk, but if you like look up like some of these live performances with this guy, I don't even remember his name, but they were really good. Like, we were taken aback about how awesome they were without Ed.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us. I'm gonna. Well, actually, before I do that, crazy brain, I didn't map out the end of the show. how can people, or do you want people to reach out to you and say?
No, I don't want anyone to find me. Facebook, Jason Sherman. On Twitter, a little bit here and there. I think it's just Bushbum. I'm on Instagram too. Also, just Bushbum. I mean, any of the PTN groups, PTBN groups, I'm there. And say hi. Let me know what you think.
Awesome. Well, I am David Sunday. You can find me on Facebook easily. But I'm Sunday Groove PTB on Twitter. And as obviously, I'm part of the Place to Be Nation pop feed.
Pop.
Yeah, pop.
pop.
But we have so many great shows, such as some of my greatest friends, Heartthrobin' Fanboys, Nick and Greg. Gotta check it out. Even if you're not huge into comics, just some of their crazy things they go through and talk about. Like, even if just their Marvel movie rewatch, if you're even a casual fan, that could still be enjoyable. They're entertaining guys, always got something new every single week. Of course, there's awesome Songs with Friends. Gotta listen to Stephen Kelly.
Steve Williams.
Steve always talks a lot of crap about all kinds of musicians and assumes horrible things about their personal lives that probably is true in some cases and other times is definitely not the case. So yeah, check that show out. Check out Freak Out Drive-In with Jenny.
I was on one of those.
Yes, Jason was on the second episode, wasn't it? I think it was.
Third, I believe.
Third, okay.
Yeah. Well,
y'all did...
Old Greg and Scott Criscolo did it before me.
Okay. What was yours? It was one of the No, it was Friday the 13th.
That's part four.
That's right. Yeah. Then we've got 90s to Nothing with my friends Russell and Sam. Sam was just on it on my episode last month when we talked about comfort albums. But yeah, they're 90s to Nothing. They go through 90s movies and just talk about theories they have behind it. Just talk about memories related to it. And just it's a lot of hilarity. Just go ahead.
And I think according to their poll, they're going to be talking about my absolute favorite movie in the next episode, so I will be listening.
Yes, they are. and let's see, Marvel Age Masterclass, tons and tons of great stuff. Talking Pop with Jenny and Tim, Geek and Sassy with Jenny and Miranda, having a brain fart there. I know Miranda. I didn't forget you, Miranda. So there's so much great stuff out there. I would definitely encourage you to listen to it all.
The Great Debate,
yes. Thank you. Which they just dropped a new episode. Andy Atherton also has Looking Forward, Looking Back, which is always good. So there's just tons of material on there. Definitely want you to check that out. Were you on The Great Debate, the first episode?
I was on episode one.
Okay, cool. So yeah, there's so many. I'm not going to go through any more, but there's just so many things on the network. Something for everyone. Always want their love to a lot of these shows. Oh, crap. DC Post-Crisis Management, Russell's other podcast. It's a mouthful, but it's a good one. Definitely for comic book fans, but it is really cool stuff. So, once again, thanks for listening. Please reach out. Let me know your list. Let me know if you have any topic ideas. Anything like that. It'll mean a lot. Share it with a friend. You never know who might like it. So, until... Oh, crap. I'm getting ahead of myself. I actually will, for the first time ever, announce what next month's is. So, most people probably know this. I think I've mentioned them on the show multiple times. But just in case you missed it, I love Queen. So, next month to come correspond with the... release of Bohemian Rhapsody on DVD. Andy and I will be back to talk about our love of Queen and a lot of their music. I originally wanted to do it back in October, but we weren't ready back then, or November, when the movie actually hit theaters. So we're doing it for the February release. That will actually be next month, and then Jason and I will be back for the March episode to finish up this list. Like I said, I had been trying to get the Queen thing on the road for a while, and it's finally going to work out, so we're finally ready and feel we can do it justice. So anyway, thank you for listening. I will chill all down the road. Thanks again, Jason.
You got it. It was fun.
Coming back to you.